Good morning. Thanks, team, again, for leading us. Find that meet with God powerfully through music. Continuing in our series, Living Our Identity and Out of Our Identity in Christ. Keep that in mind. It's part of a larger series. The first three chapters of Ephesians is unpacking who God is and who we are in Him, our true identity. And then 4 to 6, largely focusing on how to live that out in specific relationships. We're going through Ephesians a little faster than is comfortable. This is a big passage, 21 verses here. There's a lot in here. But, try and keep it in that whole context as well as we go through this. And this morning, we're looking at, it says, and it's written in the first verse of chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Beverly and I, years ago, we lived up southwest of Edmonton in a little town of Warburg. Funny little house that we bought. Go down the basement stairs, and I'm not a huge man, but the floor joists for the upper floor when you're in the basement was right there in my periphery. And, you know, there was some room. There was at least a hand width up there, but it felt really close. So I never walked full height down there because I didn't want to dent the beam. So I would always just have a little bit of a slip because it just seemed way too close and I didn't want to crack my head. Well, I go down there when we had a guest one time. It's my little nephew's with us for a few days. I go down the stairs and I'm walking along over to the workbench. I look behind me. He's walking like this. He's preschool. He doesn't need to bend over at all. But don't children often do that? They naturally imitate what they see. He had no idea why he was doing it. But he's doing it. Our own children, right? They start doing things the way we do them. It saddens me and appalls me how quickly, if I do one thing as a really bad example, they catch it right away. I can do something as a good example 1,000 times, and sometimes it's not caught. But they're imitating us as beloved children, right? Like it or not, we really matter to our kids. And what we do really has an impact on how they live. And they start imitating that. They know they're loved. And they start imitating it. This is where it starts. Be imitators of God as beloved children, right? Flowing out of the first three chapters, we're children of God, we're all sorts of other things that we've talked about. So as we go through this, there's three things here that I want to introduce a bit. Three kind of big picture ideas as we go through these 21 verses of how to imitate God. How do we actually live that out? So we walk, right? When Paul says walk here, this isn't just a stroll down the street or, you know, your particular take a big stride or a small stride. This is speaking of how we live. How we live our lives. Walk out your lives or live in these three ways. Live in love like Christ. It's the first 6 verses. Live in the light, not in darkness. It's 7 to 14. And live in wisdom of the Lord's will. We'll look at each of those briefly. So chapter 5 here, he says, imitate God. Be like God as beloved children, right? Be like our God. But sadly, there's many who have no fathers in our society, or absent fathers, or abusive fathers. This really is, to a large degree, a fatherless generation. But thankfully, every believer gets to call God Father. What a privilege. What an incredible privilege we have. Do we actually take advantage of it? Paul has painted a glorious picture of the Father already earlier in Ephesians. Like I say, the first three chapters is not only who God is, but thus, who are we in Him? chapter 1:3 and 1:7 and 3:14. He's done it earlier in chapter 4:6, earlier in the series as well. Now he adds to this list of truths about God is the application that we must imitate our God. Paul tells us in other places in Scripture to imitate him as he imitates Christ. Really, the phrase there is, imitate me as much as I am accurately living or accurately imitating Christ. He does that in 1 Corinthians 4 and 10, Philippians 3, 1 Thessalonians 1, and 2 Thessalonians 3. And he also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2, he says to congregations, imitate each other. Where they're accurately living out Christ-likeness, imitate each other. But it's only here that I can find in Ephesians that we're told, imitate God. Now that's that phrase, as beloved children. It should come natural. We're hanging out with him so much, we start to naturally do that. Live like him. Imitate him. So let's look first as walk or live in the love of Christ. These first six verses. Walk or live in the love of Christ. In love like Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. As beloved children. And remember, that's our identity. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. See, he serves those who can't repay good. Right? He sacrifices himself, this incredible sacrificial living. I had the whole series this summer of living out on a practical faith, widows and orphans and homeless, preborn, slaves, people who are picked on in school, loving those who can't love us in return, we sacrifice ourselves, and that's Christ-likeness. We love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. We give up something of ourselves, take a risk to love someone who's on the outside in some way. That's Christ-likeness. That's what we're called to. And a fragrant offering. And Christ who loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You ever walk in a building when somebody at home, somebody's made some homemade bread? Ah, that's a good smell, eh? Or fresh baking, something on the barbecue, we can smell it for quite a way, right? There's times when I'm walking home from the church here, arrive at home, I'll catch something in the air. Boy, I hope that's coming from my house. And if it's not, maybe I'll go invite myself for supper. It sure smells good, right? That our smell is apparently one of their senses. It's the one most closely linked with memory. It brings back memories, brings back good feelings and stuff. There's a good smell. But this passage goes on, right? Be a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I wonder what we smell like to other people. What do they see in our lives? Are we a fragrant offering? Because he takes a big shift here in the next few verses, verses 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. Out of place with what? Our true identity, what's come before. True identity in Christ. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. I got sent a picture from George and Leora Epp. They're serving as missionaries over in Bangladesh. So it's a fairly crowded street. I don't know if they have a not crowded street in Bangladesh, this picture. And the underground sewer system backed up. It's all over the street. And for some reason, he videoed it in slow motion. He apologized for that in a brief message I read. I don't know if he accidentally had it on that, but you can see a gentleman trying to cross the street. So, I mean, this is real live liquid sewage. They all wear sandals and open-toed shoes over there. So he's going for the jump, just misses the curb, but it's in slow motion. Sploosh. Thankfully, though, it's just a video, not connected to my nose. I didn't smell it, but can you imagine being on that street when it looks like a flood zone? It's flowing down the street. That's a stench. That's a horrible stench. That's what Paul's talking about here. This isn't a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is a stench. And not even a hint of these things should be among us. Because it stinks bad. And that leaves a lasting impact as well. We're not called to be a stink or a stench. We're called to be a fragrant offering. That's how Christ loved us. That's how we're called to love Him and love others. Let's just stop and examine for a minute. Examine our own lives. What in your life right now makes you a fragrant offering? It's okay to say, thank you, God, for bringing change into my life that I am a fragrant offering. Maybe it's when you encourage someone, it really encourages them. You've got the gift of encouragement, and they, wow, thank you. That really meant a lot to me. Maybe you're a really sensitive person and you notice when that person's just a little off that day. They're a little more chatty or a little more quiet, and you being the sensitive one comes alongside and says, hey, how are you really doing? Just noticed a little change in me today. Is there something you want to say? Caring for them. There's ways of loving people that truly are a fragrant offering, and it's okay. Thank you, God, right? Every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. It's not us getting a big fat head about pride, whatever else. Thank you, God. And I want to continue to live that out. Be encouraged. Thank God for that. Be active in that. It's okay to stop here, too, and go, wow, how have these stench things slipped into my life? Take an opportunity to confess those, turn from it, and live renewed, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live out who we truly are rather than get sucked into being what we're not. There's lots of stench. Moving on to the last couple verses in this section. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Oh, it's okay. It's whatever. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, he's just spent four verses unpacking the stench stuff. But if he hasn't changed the focus here at all, the focus is still rather imitate God. Live out what is true, what is good, loving like Christ, giving him ourselves up for others, and being a fragrant offering. That's still the focus. By walking and living, live, love like Christ. Live that out. This is still the focus. So don't lose that. So someone who lived this out, practically, Amy Carmichael, she said, when I consider the cross of Christ, how can anything that I do be considered sacrifice? She did, from our perspective, sacrifice much. She was an example of living this out, this fragrant offering, this loving like Christ, walking as Christ. She was a great missionary in India who spent much of her ministry caring for ill-treated children. And she saved many from forced prostitution, which took place in the temples. She founded the Donover Fellowship, which became a refuge to over 1,000 children. That's an undertaking. I'm certain that she didn't do some other things in her life because she was investing in those kids. She died in India in 1951 at the age of 83. She asked that no stone be put over her grave, but the children that she cared for put up a bird bath over her grave with the single inscription, Amma, which means mother. See, isn't this cool? When we imitate God as beloved children, and we really love sacrificially, and we are a fragrant offering to God in other people's lives, they start to see us as their parents. These children called her mother. She lived out her saying, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. This is written in James as well. James says, you know, if you see someone in need and you say, oh, go, be blessed, well fed, but don't do anything about it, you're not acting as a Christian. You're not acting out of who you really are, just saying, oh, I hope you do okay. Without action, there is always love leads to action. Love like Christ, he took action. He takes action. He's continually taking action. We're receiving the love of God. Let that same love flow through us. Who this week? Right? We looked at ways we are a fragrant offering. Who can you actively move towards, take action towards, and love them this week? Love like Christ. Learn to walk in love like Christ. Also learn to walk or live in the light, not in the darkness. Verse 7, we're on 7 to 10. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness. Just stop right there. First, don't partner. Don't partner with who? Well, you go back to the sons of disobedience. Those who are living as a stench, engaging in sinful activities, things that ruin relationship and destroy covetousness, sexual immorality, all these things that destroy and take from people. Don't partner with them. So we walk in the light. We recognize this is dark. I'm an imitator of Christ walking in the light. Don't partner with. For at one time you were the darkness. I'm going to read something from a commentator here. Here Paul contrasts the works of darkness with the fruit of light. John says that God is love, John 4:8. And that God is light, 1 John 1:5. Therefore, if we are to imitate God, it makes sense that we talk about love of Christ, walking in the love of Christ, and walking in the light. Here in verse 8, Paul says, at one time, you were darkness. He doesn't say where you were in darkness, you were darkness. This is incredible. This, really hear this point. Notice it's not that you were walking in darkness. You were darkness. Now he says you are light of the Lord. So your identity has changed. Amen. Amen. The old is gone. The new has come. We've talked about this before. Because you are light, Paul says. Walk as children of light. That's this series title. It's our identity, who we really are. And how do we live that out? Once again, this theme is brought home. Become what you are. You are light. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Check out 1 Peter 2:9. This is powerful. In Christ, we are light. Go live as you truly are. Don't walk in the darkness. Confess it. Repent. Turn. But the focus is on living in the light, not trying to overcome the dark. Focus on living in the light. This goes on. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Trio of virtues here. Good and right and true. I mean, that's a way we could assess it. When we're challenged with something, is this a temptation leading me to something that's not good, not right, not true? Or is this helping me live out my true identity, even though it's hard? Might be a way to assess it with a trio of virtues there. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. It might offend people. We don't want to be unnecessarily offensive to people, but it might offend people, right? There's times where Jesus, whose sinners love to hang around him, but there's also times where he said or taught or did something and zip, a lot of people left him. It might be offensive to people, but we don't want to be offensive to God. We want to be a fragrant offering to God, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. So what is pleasing to the Lord? And take that action. Take one step in that direction. Have people pray for the courage that we would move in that direction. Take no part, as we continue these verses, in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Love to unpack that. I'm not going to take the time this morning. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. These things really do lead to death. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. To live in the darkness is to move, live as if we were dead. And Christ will shine on you. Remember the old phrase, right? Especially morning people, which I happen to be one. Some people in my family don't appreciate how immediately I wake up. And every day is an awesome opportunity when I get up in the morning. But that saying, rise and shine, everybody, right? Some people just hear it and they cringe. But this is rise and shine. Christians, rise and shine. I'll go with this mic now. Rise and shine. We are the light of the world. Rise and shine. Don't be timid about it. Rise and shine. Move into this relationship and shine. Let our light shine. Be who we truly are. We are the light of the world. Don't shrink back from that. So we're called to walk in love like Christ. We're called to walk or live in light, not darkness. And to walk or live in wisdom of the Lord's will. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, called to examine our attitudes, our actions, our priorities. Are they the world's? Our own? These are the things I need to do, or whatever. Or are they God's? And in God's, there's wisdom. There's wisdom there. Think of Proverbs. On this matter of wisdom, there are many contrasts with the way of folly and the way of wisdom. The fool is right in his own eyes. Wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 12:15. The prudent acts with knowledge. The fool flaunts his folly. Proverbs 13:16. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. 28:26. A wise son makes glad a father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. Proverbs 10:1. Wisdom has impact in all these relationships. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. It's 14:16. Those who walk with the wise become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Consider who we hang around. We walk as wise, not as unwise. Proverbs 13:20. And in fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ever meet somebody that's completely unteachable? And we know what category they fit in, eh? That's Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. What an incredible resource we have. We all have the same amount of time to spend, to invest in different ways. How are we investing that? Is this God's best involvement or work through me right now? Or am I just doing what a squeaky wheel and the world determines how I spend my time maybe? Or maybe I've overcommitted myself and all sort of things. Am I actually doing what God has called me to do? And is it freeing? There's wisdom in living out who we truly are. Do we have time to live out who we truly are? Or are we just straying around? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We in God's Word to understand what His will is, how it applies specifically to our lives. That's why it's great to read the Word in community and discern it together and then wrestle with application together. People can speak into our lives, we can speak into theirs. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This one could be summarized as walk and live, as we've said it, in wisdom of the Lord's will. This could also be and walk and live in the Spirit. Are we in tune with the Spirit? What are you up to right now, God? How are you leading me? I'm not filled with something else. I'm filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to. A wise person is not intoxicated by alcohol or anything else, but is filled with the Spirit. We are new creations today because Jesus submitted to God's will. God the Father sent the Son. He willingly submitted to God's will. He cried out, "It is finished," after doing God's will obediently. He rescued those who didn't love others perfectly. Those who committed these dark, shameful deeds, and those who were living life of total futility, He comes and saves. Because He's submitted and obedient. And now His Spirit is in us, enabling us to imitate God by walking in love, walking in light, walking in the Spirit, or walking in wisdom. What are we doing? Are we actually being the fragrance of Christ? And what in our lives is loving like Christ? Are we taking action when we see there's opportunity? Love like Christ, sacrificially, and a pleasant aroma in people's lives. In light, not in darkness, right? We say no to the darkness. We put our energies into imitating living in the light, not in the darkness, and living in the Spirit, in the wisdom of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you that this all flows out of our true identity in you. This isn't something we're trying to do on our own. This is what we are supernaturally becoming by the power of your Spirit. It's true of every believer. You've called us, and now you're equipping us to love like Christ. And yet there's still a choice there. We submit to one another out of reverence for you. We put ourselves under for their good. Opportunities. I pray you would show us this week how we can love like Christ. Show us, give us a clear picture of our own lives. We can thank and praise you how we are in the light, being a fragrance that is pleasing to you. Also give us a clear picture of where the darkness has crept in and it's hindering us from fully living for you and bringing your light to the world. And help us walk in the Spirit, in the wisdom of your will. We ask that you would help us do this in very specific ways, specific relationships this week. Open our eyes and give us the courage to walk faithfully and imitate you as ought to be natural of his children. Amen.